This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, scholars examine why some Latinos have a poor view of blacks, and Halliburton loses their exclusive lock. Joining us today to discuss these topics and more from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C., economist and author Julianne Malveaux. She's president and CEO of Last Word Productions. And from our New York bureau, Walter Field, CEO and publisher of the NorthStarNetwork.com. Also there, Pedro Noguera, professor of education at New York University. All right, folks, before we get into those topics, I wanted to briefly, Walter, let me start with you, talk about what we heard from Russell Simmons. And I know you know Russell personally as well. The impassioned move that Russell has taken on for social change is interesting. Also, to look at where the hip-hop community is, because I do think, as I tried to get him to address, that they're stuck in the middle, the idea of wanting social change, wanting to be a movement for that, but also falling back on some of the misogynistic and also materialistic views of that, if we use it as a collective, a monolith, if you will.
No, I think you're right, and I think their intent is honorable. I think the problem that they're having is that they have yet to own up to some of the negativity within their community. I mean, I think it's important for them to take this step in terms of being more politicized, but they have to address issues of how they treat women, how they record their music, the lyrics they use, and it's not a matter of policing. I think it's an accountability measure because, yes, art certainly has certain boundaries, and we can accept the fact that artists should have some license to express themselves, and we certainly want to respect everyone's First Amendment rights. But if you're going to start talking about creating a political movement, I think you have to have a set of values that everyone agrees to in order to move forward. I think there are some artists who are clearly responsible in the type of language they use. There are others that are clearly not. And I think if they are really going to create a mass movement, they've got to address the issue of what are the bottom line values that we want to rally around in order to make an impact and really see the lives of the people that we care about improved.
Yet, Pedro, what I loved about Russell's answer, and believe me, we've had many discussions publicly and privately about this, very heated sometimes, but the idea that he did bring up an interesting point, and that is perhaps we're holding the hip-hop community to more accountability than we do others, including the government. I thought his answer was interesting about the country being more gangster than those in the hip-hop community.
Well, I think that's a clever response, but it doesn't, I think, eliminate the question of what is their responsibility as artists to the community that they attempt to represent. I think if we look to hip-hop artists for leadership in any kind of movement, we're in serious trouble. Most of those artists are simply businessmen. They will do whatever it takes to sell their music, including exploit all kinds of people. So while I know there are several artists who are I think, very admirable people whose work is, I think, above reproach, that is not true for the vast majority, and they are in no position to lead a movement anywhere, despite the influence they exercise over many people in this country.
Julianne?
I was extremely disturbed about Russell's very cavalier attitude about gender. I think that, as Pedro says, he absolutely is extraordinarily clever in terms of talking about reciprocity, but for African-American men to treat African-American women like trash, which is literally what comes out of many of these hip-hop lyrics, is disgusting. These are our girls. They are women, young women, who will be the mothers of the next generation. And we need to surround them. And there has been no responsibility from these hip-hop brothers, not the sisters, they're women like MC Light, like Tony Blackman, many of them who are trying to raise these issues. But these men who have utter contempt for black women, and that's what bothers me.
There's been no response from the older generation, Julianne, to try to stop much of this in its tracks. We have sat silently often and watched
it happen. We have, you know, I reject that because if I say something, it's like somebody's grandma talking. If you say something, it's like somebody's daddy. They don't want to hear from us. They want to hear from their peers. And these guys have been, I cannot be more emotional, and I'm trying not to be, than to say that when you call your sisters hoes, and when you call, you know, the women who are buying your music all kind of names and up under their clothes. You know, it is about denigrating our nation. That's what it's about. And Russell and these hip-hop men refuse to take responsibility for that. So they can run out here and talk about they want to do political activism and all that. They are no better than the white folks that they're trying to criticize.
But, you know, I can agree with that, but I think the gender conflict didn't start with this generation. And no. I think even when you start looking at the issue of gender with this generation, I think you're right, Julianne, in talking about their responsibility. But let's be clear that many young black women are also fueling this because of their behavior. The fact that many of them so willingly participate in this because it is a business venture to many
of them.
The fact that you have female artists who use the same vile language as male artists and call themselves the very names that we say should not be uttered, you know, at any time or any place, and use it casually. So I think, yes, there's a gender conflict, but I think there's an across-the-board generational issue here about a set of values that are missing that will allow them to be responsible, that will allow them to have some sense of civic identity. And while they may not lead, they certainly can be participants in a larger mass movement for social change. I don't want to write off a generation because I know how I was when I was 17 or 18, and I would shudder to think that people would not allow me in the door to day if they looked at my past. So, you know, I think we have to find a way to make sure that those of us who are a little older continue to try to have discourse with this generation and point out their deficiencies, but also point them out knowing that they were not necessarily born of this generation.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, Julianne, because if we didn't see them doing some of the things that Russell and others are pushing them to during these summits, we would denounce that, as we have often athletes who make a lot of money. And for many people, we had Bill Roden on the show yesterday, don't see them being socially conscious enough. And I still say that we all play a role in this, whether we're grandfathers, fathers, uncles, or peers, in making sure, because it is time for us to start policing some of the things that are going on in our community. Pick up your point, and then Pedro, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, all I want to say is, I mean, I agree with Walter that obviously there have always been gender conflicts. They have never been so hateful. This is hateful when young women are being called vile names collectively, and when, you know, people like you, Walter, who I think of as a brilliant thinker, doesn't pick up the issue of patriarchy and how patriarchy basically pushes these women to perform in certain ways. We live under a patriarchal society, a racist and patriarchal society, and we as black people refuse to acknowledge that.
If you acknowledge
patriarchy, then you acknowledge that the women who are using vile language also are basically conforming.
But that's
to the
point, Julianne, that I raised, the idea of people needing to stand in and talk. And older folks, whether they want to hear from us or not, and I'm accepting, Julianne, yes, that I'm in that group now. But
you
know,
if you didn't, I was going to call you on it.
All right, Pedro, anything else on this very quickly, and then
I think with very few exceptions, entertainers have never been leaders of movements, and the idea that these rap artists would be leaders is ludicrous. They're in it for the money, period, and therefore we should see them in that way and judge them accordingly, and not at all look to them to lead us anywhere other than where they have so far, which is
even during the civil rights movement, entertainers have been in the fore of movements,
but not as entertainers. You think about Harry Belafonte, he did it as a social activist. It wasn't about his music, it was about his work as an activist.
And these,
well, we can argue that later, because
it's a whole other thing. You know, Ed, we really have to talk about deficiencies in our community when we talk about artists and athletes who in the past have been stellar. You know, you can't name 10. You cannot name 10. Their numbers have quadruplified. Their influence has diminished because most of them are trifling hustlers.
I would not agree with that. But I could name 10. But Walter, I've got it, because we'll have the whole 17 minutes on this. So we'll bring this back, though. Obviously, this topic we want to talk about. So we'll bring this back. I want to get to the Halliburton question in talking about problematics in our world. We are seeing now Halliburton. The Army is suggesting that they're going to end their exclusivity contract with Halliburton. This is something that has been called for a long time, we see that whistleblowers have suggested that there have been some possible improprieties, Julianne Malvo, as relates to Halliburton and the books they keep, upwards to over $1 billion of questionable costs. This is a big deal when you think about all that Halliburton does for the government.
You know, if you go on the, there's a site, HalliburtonWatch.com. They talk about them serving contaminated water to our troops. They talk about them double charging the government for gas. Here's the bottom line. The Halliburton stock price since we went to Iraq has quadrupled, as has the number of U.S. soldiers killed. And so it is extremely appropriate that we step away from this company highly associated with the Vice President of the United States and begin to look at, if we have goods and services to be provided, how can we provide them competitively? Halliburton is pernicious. It is just a horrible corporation. They, you see their footprints in Iraq, but also in New Orleans. And so, again, this website is fascinating to me, but even more than that, the extent to which we have seen this company have an exclusive agreement with our government is simply wrong. It should have been wrong 3 years ago in 2003 when, indeed, we went into Iraq. At that time, their stock was about $20. Now their stock is about $70.
Pedro, it's interesting to note that here again is something that had been talked about for years and years now, based on the connection that the vice president did have with this company. Yet, very little movement. There was a lot of talk, but very little movement until now.
Yeah, it's not surprising when you consider it's not just Halliburton, it's also the oil companies that are so closely connected to this administration. And what we've seen over the course of the years that since Bush has been elected is several major corporations, including Enron, that were involved in very shady, corrupt practices, now being exposed for what they are, and the administration not being held accountable for its connections. The fact that Dick Cheney was the former CEO of Halliburton rarely comes out, and given particularly given these sweetheart deals. So the fact that the Pentagon is now calling for a discontinuation of those contracts, I think, is a small step forward.
Interesting note here, Walter. The Pentagon's new plan will split the work among three companies to be chosen in the fall, with a fourth to be chosen a bit later. It'll be interesting to see who the other companies are. One has to believe that they're going to be companies with heavy government connections, whether they be with the Bush administration or previous administrations.
And don't forget, Halliburton can rebid for these contracts. I mean, we have to remember the timing in all of this. We're talking the fall. There's a midterm election in 4 months that's going to determine the fate of the House of Representatives. This isn't a coincidence. And I think, you know, this is akin to the closeout sale at a major department store. There's really nothing left except the fixtures. All the real goods have already been gone. So this is nothing but symbolism. What's left in this contract is minuscule compared to the money that Halliburton's already received for these contracts. So we shouldn't be fooled into believing that this is some dramatic shift in the White House's policy about contracting in Iraq. This is, you know, the barn's already been burned down. All that's left is the ashes. So now we're going to have some folks clean up the ashes, and it's going to be over because the government contracting in Iraq is coming to an end.
Well, here's
you
what's
know what? Cleaning up the ashes. If I could just interrupt for 1 second, Ed. In terms of cleaning up the ashes, the question that we need to raise from our perspective is, where are the minority contractors in this? I mean, theoretically, we should be players, but we're not. And I think that's really important as well. We saw data just about this time last year that talked about the rise in the number of African-American-owned businesses, and we've seen that data leaking out from the Department of Commerce. There is not a person of color in this game at all. And that's something, you know, as repugnant as this business is, if it's business, we need to play.
And some of the other companies that have been talked about, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman Corporation, again, these are companies that have had long-standing ties, Pedro, with the government.
Yes, and that it's those ties that I think really need to be scrutinized. There's a lack of transparency here completely. I think that the work that Congressman Waxman's been doing to try to expose these connections, the sweetheart deals, is so important. it's a shame that the GAO isn't doing this kind of work itself, because this involves corruption at the highest levels of government, and it really is an outrage that nothing more has been done.
You speak of Congressman Waxman. He's Representative Henry Waxman out of California, Democrat, who's been highly critical over the years of Lockheed Martin. Forgive me, Halliburton.
Right.
Walter, real quick, if you will, do you see this as you talk about this being perhaps some sweep up before the election? What about after the election? You don't see, as you say, they can rebid. You don't see Halliburton going away by any means.
Oh, not at all. They're too big of a player in this business. I mean, Halliburton is huge, so I don't see them withering away. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they rebid and got one of these contracts. I mean, let's be clear about the contracting process and how it works and one of the reasons why minority firms get locked out. I mean, first of all, to deliver on a contract of this size takes enormous capital, which most minority firms don't have and can't access. So, you know, I think we've got a real issue here that there are really only about four or five companies in the U.S. that can handle a contract of this size.
Right. Yeah, unless they broke down individual duties of these companies for contractors. You're absolutely right, Walter. There's no way a minority firm, just dollar-wise, would be able to handle it. So one might question whether or not they break down individual duties for particular companies
expertise. They've done it in the past, and they're not going to do it this time around because the whole issue of minority business set-asides stepped to the wayside both with Iraq and with New Orleans. It is possible to break off pieces. It's also possible to put into your bid the notion that you have so much minority participation. Halliburton has never been held to that standard.
All right. All right, folks, thank you very much. We were going to get to a poll that talked about the views of some Latinos about African Americans, but we got knee-deep into, no pun intended there for Funkadelic fans, but knee-deep into the hip-hop charge. So we'll get to that tomorrow. Guys, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.